Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Power Couple. So, this is going to be our first official live podcast, which if you're listening to it live, you are on Facebook. So we've set up a podcast channel, so feel free to go to the page that we're actually live from, and then you know, take a look at what we've got going on here. So with that said, I'm Ethan Newman.
And I'm Bethany Newman.
All right, and we are the hosts. So today what we're going to be doing is discussing a very important topic that I don't feel is talked about enough, and that is a blended family, what to expect. So one of the things that you need to really expect, and I think I may actually let Bethany start off with this.
Well, because this is something that is so obviously close to us, for anybody who knows us well enough, is learning where you fit as a bonus parent. I don't like the word step parent, a bonus parent, bonus child. Those are my words of choice. But I think communication with your partner is the biggest thing when it comes to finding out where you fit in the dynamics of the new family that you're entering into.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Looks like we had a brief interruption. So apologies on that. But yeah, no, learning where you fit is very important. I mean, you've got to definitely communicate with your partner. Make sure that they're comfortable, because at this particular point, what we're talking about is like the very beginning stages of a blended family.
Yeah, don't just throw your partner to the wolves and say, hey, figure it out, make yourself feel comfortable. You know, you have to help your partner feel comfortable and make them feel like a part of the family. That's a huge thing.
You know, you want to make sure that, you know, they don't feel like they are just, you know, the step parent or anything along the lines of that. They really need to be part of the family, because if this is a blended family, then it is a family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, regardless if it's blended or whether it's a, you know, just a regular family. So,
it's... Yeah, when you chose to be with somebody with a child, you chose to become a part of that family. I am a firm believer in that. You know, if you didn't want children, then you should have never found somebody with children. You have to make it work.
Right.
That's really, as I think, as simple as it gets, is you have to make it work.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right there. And now one of the big things too, and I can speak personally from this, from a past marriage that I was actually involved in, building a relationship with the bonus child is a huge thing that can be very hard to navigate.
And it could be a make it or break it kind of thing.
Yeah, no, definitely, because a lot of people can, I mean, that can end relationships very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to make sure that you smooth that transition for your child, so that it's, you know, you don't want to imagine throwing somebody into ice water, the shock that happens. That to a child, having a whole new set of family in two different houses where the child came from one house with two parents. Now suddenly the child is thrown into two houses with three or four parents.
And new in-laws, and, you know, new grandmas and grandpas, and new aunts and uncles, and new everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's terrifying.
Sometimes new siblings. I mean, you know, there's so many different things that is a shock to your child. So you have to make that transition as smooth as you possibly can.
Right. Right, because otherwise, I mean, it's detrimental to your child in many ways, and mental health is definitely one of the ways that can be detrimental to your child. Now, one thing that we have found that is extremely important is one-on-one time with the child. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about like father-son or mother-son or daughter. I'm talking about step-parent to bonus child one-on-one time. And Bethany, she's got a lot of experience with that.
You know, it's... I'm trying to think of how to explain it. It's going out for ice cream or learning what your child, you know, your bonus child is into and doing those things with them. You know, for my son, it was trains and cars and movies. So those are things that, you know, when Daddy went to work, we did those things together.
Yeah, I mean, and it could be as simple as starting off by reading a book at night, right before bed, and let that be your dedicated time. Because at the beginning of a blended family, it's very crucial to build that relationship with the child, because you know you're very new, and you know it's just a very important thing that needs to be done, because if you don't have that relationship, then you don't have anything.
That's the child in this situation, I believe, is the foundation to the house that you're going to build forever.
Yeah, definitely.
The children, you know, with bonus children, they are, I mean, it's a package deal. So you have to make sure that relationship is being built. And it's a work in progress. It's just like with your biological children. You have to build that relationship all the time. And it's the same with your bonus kids. You have to build that relationship all the time as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Definitely. You know, and one huge thing, too, is you know, starting off, you know, both sides, the bonus parent slash and the biological parent, both of them have, it's new to both of them. So you don't want to step on anybody's toes. You know, you don't want to step on the step parent's toes, because you know they're trying to get acclimated to everything, they're trying to get used to everything. And at the same time, the step-parent doesn't want to step on the biological parent's toes, because they've already got a system down, you know. So you don't want to mess with both of those. So you have to, really the key thing is communication.
And every blended family is different. Sometimes stepping on toes cannot be avoided, and sometimes stepping on toes
can be avoided,
and sometimes stepping on toes, you just need to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, with that, I mean, you've got to learn the parenting skills.
And you have to learn the parent of... you have to learn both parents of your bonus child.
Yeah.
The one that you're with, and the one that you're... partner was with. You have to learn both sides of that spectrum.
Yeah, whether it's
polar opposites or not.
Yeah, polar opposites are not, good or bad or indifferent. You need to learn both styles of both parents. So that's a little bit of extra work for the step parent, but nonetheless.
And it's not easy. It's nobody ever says, "I want to be a bonus mom," because it's the easiest thing in the world. Because it's not.
Yeah, and
being a bonus parent is so hard.
And I'll be straight up honest with everybody. You know, I was a bonus parent at once, you know. And after having my biological children, you know, I knew it from the beginning, but I would probably never become a bonus parent ever again. In my personal opinion,
it's hard. It's not, I will say this right now, it is not for everybody.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you know, it may be for, you know, not to get any sort of gender stuff brought up, but, you know, I think it'd be harder for a man than a woman to be a bonus parent. I mean, it's hard both ways around, but, you know, if you look at the stereotypes of guys, I mean, there's so many guys out there that just leave their own kids.
And I do not fully disagree with that, and you guys will hear this a lot on our podcast, and our videos that we do, is that we don't always agree with each other, but that's what makes it
right.
A healthy marriage. I don't fully agree with that. I do, but I don't. Because there are mothers that just walk in on their kids as well.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm disputing that.
And some fathers, like my husband, are the most nurturing fathers I've ever met.
Oh, shanks.
And a lot of women have those qualities, but some of them lack those qualities, just like men. Some men lack nurturing qualities.
Right.
So it's a double-edged sword on that one, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, one of the big things that you got to do is you've got to communicate with your partner at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're thinking anything, if you're feeling anything, that needs to be communicated immediately.
And that goes to, you know, with parenting styles. Everybody's parenting styles are different. Me and you do not parent the same way.
Not at all.
You know, I'm a little bit more strict, he's a little bit more lenient, but you have to find that middle ground so everybody's happy, everybody's getting along, and you're still accomplishing the same goal.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, having one parent that's a little harsher than the other isn't as big of a deal whenever the beliefs are the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bethany and I both, we're both kind of old-fashioned. We, yes ma'am, no ma'am.
Yes sir, no sir.
Yes sir, no sir, please, thank you, and all that stuff. That is an absolute must. So that's a belief that both of us have that works really well because, you know, we're, as soon as it's a yeah, both of us at the same time, yes ma'am or yes sir, mm-hmm. You know, we're making that correction.
And that was something that, you know, when we first got together, we did sit down and have a talk. Like, okay, setting kind of those, I don't want to say expectations, but
yeah, they are expectations.
Some people might not agree with that wording because, you know, expectations are not always met.
Potato, potato.
But when it comes to parenting, you have to have expectations for your new partner with your child. You have to. You have to have expectations for, you know, maybe things that you don't want them to do. Maybe you don't feel comfortable with them spanking your child right off the bat. So you need to express those expectations that you have for them to not spank your child.
Yeah, now there's got to be ground rules for sure.
Uh-huh.
And one of the big reasons is because, you know, I'm going to say what no one else wants to say, and very few people will say or admit, but whenever it comes to your biological child versus your bonus child, there's a huge difference. I mean, it all depends on.
But it all depends on the person.
Absolutely. See, you know, back whenever I had a bonus child, I mean, it's a huge difference for me. You know, because I noticed, you know, I love the kid to death. Don't get me wrong, I loved him to death, but I saw myself being a lot more harsh on my bonus child than I ever have been on my biological child.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's because there is a connection that's not there. That biological connection is not there. So, you know, that's some other person's kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have a lot less patience with the child because of that.
But that's where I'm going to go back to the one-on-one time. That's why that is so important. You have to connect with your bonus child. You have to take that extra time to connect with your bonus child to make that connection. Because, you know, to my daughter, I gave birth to her. There's a special connection there because I gave birth to that child. you know, I don't have to work extra to make a connection with her. I don't have, you know, I don't, she's my biological child. Now, with our son, you know, at the beginning, I did have to make that connection with him, and that's okay. It's okay to admit that you have to make, you know, that connection. It's normal. You know, there's not just going to be that natural spark of, you know, that just those natural instincts or that natural connection. There's not going to be that. And if you set yourself up thinking that that is what's going to happen, you're setting yourself up for failure. If you go into this thinking, oh, I'm going to be totally connected and it's going to be the same as my biological child, you are setting yourself up for failure, in my opinion.
Absolutely. No, you are setting yourself up for failure. If you walk in thinking, okay, well, you know what? I'm the biological parent now. The other person's just a donor, whatever. That's absolutely going to set you up for failure, and you're going to regret it, because mm-hmm. that's going to create relationship issues with the child later on, and it can also create really big relationship issues between you and your spouse.
Don't skip steps.
Yeah.
In becoming a bonus parent. I'm not saying there's a handbook, and I am definitely not an expert, but there are certain steps that I believe you have to take in becoming a bonus parent, so do not skip those very crucial and important steps to being a bonus parent.
No, yeah.
Don't do that. No, don't do definitely. That at all.
Don't want to. You know, and you're going to run into a slew of issues. You're going to have issues with the ex.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you are.
Yeah, and...
As a bonus parent and as a biological parent.
Yeah, both sides. And it's probably both sides on both sides of the river, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the biggest things that you're going to notice is there's going to be some crazy household differences.
Both sides of the river? I've never heard that before.
Well, that's what I'm using right
now. Well, you know what, guys? We're going to have a new... When we say, like, I say both ends of the spectrum, both sides of the river works, too.
That's right. So, but yeah, no, with the household differences, you're going to be surprised. I mean... You've got two different parents who have just parted ways, probably most of the time due to irreconcilable differences, and there may be some other issues along the lines mm-hmm. too. But that right there, I mean, first off, both of their parenting styles are different to a degree. Mm-hmm. Now you just completely separated both of them, and neither one of them's living in the same household. That child's having to bounce between two different households now, and you're going to run it your way, and they're going to run it their way. Mm-hmm. So you're going to run into a slew of issues with that, because, you know, if your child's old enough, they'll be like, well, over at their house, I get to do this. Or over at their house, I got to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an ongoing issue, and it will probably always be an issue, but you've got to expect it.
Mm-hmm. And it is hard to not get angry, because it is very frustrating, you know, and sometimes, so, okay, I blended families can go one or two ways with yep. the biological parents.
Yep.
You guys can communicate really well, or you guys can communicate not at all.
Yeah, you could.
There's... like, two sides to that. And if there is a middle ground, I would love for somebody to tell us how to get to that middle ground. Because we would love to know.
Right, right.
Because we have dealt with a lot of the spiteful and malicious behavior, which has then bled off into everybody else.
Yes, and that is a humongous issue. Because whenever it comes to spitefulness and maliciousness, you know... The thing is, everyone involved has to take a step back and realize there is a child involved. Regardless of what your feelings are or anything, there is a child involved, and that is the absolute most important thing to have in mind. But what happens, though, is, you know, we're all humans, and some people lack more sense than others, is, you know, the child may end up getting used as pawn.
And that does happen.
Whether it's intentional or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it absolutely can mm-hmm. happen, and it does happen.
and I will put this little nugget in there. As a bonus parent, not only do you get, you know, defensive of your spouse, because a lot of times, or, you know, or your partner, a lot of times that's who kind of gets the brunt of everything. That is who gets the brunt of everything most of the time. But you also, you have to learn to protect the ones that you love, your bonus child, your partner, your spouse, without overstepping those boundaries.
Yeah.
Because it is frustrating seeing, you know, your partner be kind of thrown into all of this and not know what to do. And it's even harder to see your bonus child being used as a pawn, like a toy.
Or your biological child.
Yeah, or your biological child.
It hurts on both sides.
But you have to learn, you have to learn how to cope with that. And you have to learn how to deal with that and be the bigger person on the other, what, on the other side of the river?
On the other side of the river.
you have to be the bigger people on the other side of that river.
Yeah, yeah. You got a poor side of the river and a rich side of the river. You want to be that rich side. Mm-hmm. The one with the better quality of life and stuff.
With the prettier grass.
Prettier grass. Grass is greener on my side.
You know, you've gotta kind of go back to that finding your place and not stepping on toes. You've gotta learn how to take the good with the bad. And a lot of times in the beginning, there's so much more bad than there is positive in some situations, and you have to learn how to deal with that together.
Right, right. Because here's the thing. One thing that will happen that you want to try not to let happen is, you know, don't look at that child as, oh, well, you're the ex's kid, because then you're going to get pissed off really quick.
Do not take your frustrations out on the child, because you cannot stand the ex.
You're probably going to do it once or twice, so don't beat yourself up over it, but straighten yourself up as quickly as you can.
Because, I don't know, because, you know, our son was so little when we kind of figured out how the splendid family thing worked.
Yeah, he's like, not even two yet.
But with older kids, I'm going to assume that maybe it's a little different.
Right.
Because they're old enough to understand certain things that, you know, luckily, the smaller ones are not. So, I'm sure that's a whole new struggle with how that plays out between, you know, what's understood and what's not.
Right,
so,
right.
You always just kind of have to roll with the punches, and sometimes it does create issues with your partner. I mean,
we've had plenty of ups and downs.
We've had some rough patches, for sure, and a lot of it has stemmed from being a blended family and this being new, and us being young. It's not easy.
Yeah, no, we've had enough to end a 25-year-old marriage, but we're still working it. we got it.
I will say this has made us stronger, for sure. You know, the things that we have been through together in the past, 4 years.
Yeah.
Has been enough, I do think, to end, you know, some marriages. But that's when you have to, I think, you know, when issues do arise with your partner, you do have to learn how to deal with those things, you know, when issues do arise, because they will.
Right, right. And one thing that that's very important, and I'll touch on it very briefly, the custody arrangements. That right there is something that you're going to have to... Okay, first off, if you are divorcing somebody, if you're before the blended family, get a parenting plan.
That's a huge... Yep. That's another extra nugget.
Yeah, get a freaking parenting plan, because here's what's going to happen. What you need to do is go get a parenting plan that goes out as far as you can think. You've got to get creative with this bad boy. You know, you want to make this parenting last longer than just a few years. So you need to really work at it and get your stuff together, because what you're going to do if you don't is you're going to keep running into constant issues and constant conflict with the other side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely get that sorted out at the very beginning. And if you're already in the beginning part of the blended family, then you might want to start working on that as well, especially before the child gets too much older because that's a big deal.
That is a it is a huge deal. And, you know, with custody arrangements, sometimes people don't follow them. Sometimes people don't care about them at all. And, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, not all blended families are like this. We can only speak on kind of what we've, you know, obviously what we've been through.
I think our setup's a fairly common setup, though.
it probably definitely is.
Because all this like blended family, like mom number one, mom number two, dad number one, dad number two, jerseys and all that stuff. That's like a dime in the rough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely not the most common thing, at least from what we've seen.
Yeah, from
but
yeah,
it does
we could be wrong.
Happen. You know, and some families grow from that. They grow from where we are right now to the cute jerseys and, you know, holidays together. And that's awesome. And I applaud people who can do that because it's not easy.
Right.
You know, but a lot of times I feel like what causes some of these issues, you know, between, you know, your new partner or your new spouse, because there are issues that come with being a blended family, not with the kids, not with anybody else, but with your partner. And I feel like one of my biggest struggles was insecurities. That was...
Oh, yeah.
That was a big one. And I know for a lot of people, regardless whether you're a man or a woman, I don't care, it doesn't matter, there are going to be insecurities to some extent. Whether it's with where you fit as a parent, you know, like as a bonus parent, or, you know, even as a biological parent, where you fit when maybe your ex finds somebody else to be a part of her family. You know, there are insecurities, and sometimes the ex can make those insecurities come out a little bit more. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing, too, let's say that your ex talks to your new spouse and says, hey, guess what I did last night? And then you say what? And then they say your spouse.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's super unfortunate, but it happens. Sometimes there's a lot of unfinished business on either side, both sides, one side. It could go both ways. Sometimes there's unfinished business, and it comes out on the new bonus parent.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's what's going to happen. And the thing is,
the bonus parent is always the first target. They're the easiest target.
Yeah, and the bonus parent, he or she is going to, you know, be very vulnerable too, because they are hearing from someone that was previously married, mm-hmm, to their current significant other. All these things, like, oh yeah, yeah, well, they hadn't lost it. They still like me. They're still doing this with
they're
me.
They're still in love with me. You'll never be as great of a mother or father as I was. You know, you're just the step-parent. You're just this. You're never going to be that. It's hard, and it can really take its toll on not only the person who's just trying to be there for that child, but it does take a toll on the relationship between the new couple.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, and I want to say, if there's any bonus parents listening to this right now and we have just spoke your language, all I've got to say, and I'm sure Beth needs to agree with me, is keep your head up, close your ears to that person, mm-hmm, and you know, just focus on what's important.
Know who you are. As not only just as a person, as an individual, but know who you are to that child.
Yeah.
If you know that you're this kick-butt parent to that child, be that kick-butt parent. Do not let anybody else tell you that you're less than a kick-butt parent to that child.
Yeah, because, and you know, you can't make your partner feel that they're any less either. Because, you know, guess what? They're not. You know, if they're in your house, and they're assuming that role in your house,
and you're letting them assume that role,
yeah, they are definitely no less of a parent.
Because that's been, I think, our biggest help, is that you have never made me feel less than because I am a step-parent.
Yeah, I mean, you're pulling the same amount, if not more, of the load of raising our kids.
Because in our situation, I did have to take that mom role on, A, very quickly, and B, very frequently.
Yeah.
You did not throw me to the wolves, but I felt like I was being thrown to the wolves because...
Yeah, no, you kind of were thrown to the wolves.
The situation was so different than what I ever expected as a father who had their child full time. You know, it was kind of, you know, you expect most dads to have their child every other weekend, not...
Stereotypically.
Not full time, all the time. You know, loving every second of it. You know, it was definitely like, hey, I have a kid, and they're with me all the time, and this is how it works.
Yeah,
you know,
imagine that you're like a high schooler, a high school guy, and you just met the parents of your girlfriend, and they're all like, yeah, so here's the deal. This is the rules, and these are the requirements that you have to meet to date my daughter.
Are you up for it? Yes or no?
Are you up for it? Yes or no? If not, leave. If yes, then you can take my daughter out on a date. Yeah, that's kind of what she went through with me. It was, hey, I've got a kid, and here's my rules, and these are the requirements. Are you up for it? And she was like, yes.
Because then, I knew bam. They were a package deal. That was a big, and I know that was a big thing for you.
Yep.
Me just so willingly accepting that you guys were a package deal.
Absolutely.
You don't get one without out the other. It's
a good way to fall for somebody. When you're like, hey, it's a package deal, and they're like, okay, I'll take both of you. And this is like, hell yeah, there you go.
You know, I mean, it's, and you have to be willing to do that. And you have to communicate that with your partner. I know we've probably said communication probably 100 times. But communication is such a huge thing, and that's a trending thing for us with...
Right.
I think anything we talk... Whether it's money, whether it's parenting, whether it's just our relationship in general, communication is going to be at the forefront of what we talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, we could talk about this for hours on end, I guarantee, and we will probably end up having another segment on what to expect in a blended family. We will definitely have more segments on the blended family in general.
Because it is something that is so near and dear to us that a lot of people don't talk about because sometimes it's not accepted by some people to get divorced and have a kid and get remarried and have another kid and... Sometimes some people just don't think that's acceptable, but we are so open to talking about it because it is important to us.
Absolutely.
We want to talk about what works because I believe that the divorce rate is so ridiculously high, it's not even funny. So
yeah, this should be in books and schools at this point.
Unfortunately, it really should.
I mean, with how frequent it is. But, you know, we're going to... We'll, before we close this out, I just want to include one thing. And this, whether you're a single mom or a single dad just starting out with this, soon as the divorce is even mentioned and the separation begins, document everything. You will thank me later. Because here's the thing. Hopefully, both parties are fantastic parents and y'all are able to work it out and so on and so forth.
But that doesn't always happen.
It does not. So... In the event that you end up being the better parent, for obvious reasons, whatever they may be, then this documentation is gonna save you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you document everything, whether it's screenshots of text messages, screenshots of social media,
just
handwritten
whatever.
Documents on, you know, exchanging of the child,
mm-hmm.
and condition of the child, and proof of all of that stuff. I mean, if there's anything negative and you document it, you're going to save yourself a lot of time and a lot of money in a future court date.
Just make sure when you're, and I think this is very important, just make sure when you're doing these things that you always have the best interest of your child at heart.
Yes.
Do not do these things out of spite for your ex. Do not do these things to be malicious. Do everything with the best intention of your child.
Yeah, because here's what's going to happen. If you do it to be spiteful,
It's going to come back and bite
you. Yeah, it'll come back and bite you very, very quickly and it very, very harshly. Because here's what's going to happen. First off, either your child is going to end up figuring it out and then they're going to hate you. So that's something you can have looming over your shoulders. Or B, you can take someone to court and once everything that you put in there spitefully is proven wrong, guess what? You're probably going to lose more time than what you were trying to get.
So just do everything with the best intention of your child.
Yeah, and because at the end of the day,
that's who's important.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part of all of this is that child.
Yeah. Nothing more, nothing less. That child is number one.
And everything will get better eventually. It's taken us, what, 4 years for things to settle down slightly. But
still issues, but nonetheless, I mean, it's settled down a lot to where we can breathe.
But if it makes anybody feel better at the end of this, listening to this, it's going to get better.
It will always get better.
As long as your focus is on your child and what is going on at your house, because you cannot control what goes on at the other house. As much as we would all like to control what goes on at everybody else's houses, we cannot.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as that child comes home, that's all that matters. As soon as your child leaves,
if they are safe when they get home and they come back as one whole child, that's what you have to focus on. They are in your hands now. This is your time. This is your child, and you love the crap out of that child until they have to leave again.
Yeah, you'll never sleep if you dwell on what's going on at the other house. So don't even do that. Just save yourself some time, effort, energy, and exhaustion.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's going to get better. It's going to get easier. You're going to find your niche as a biological parent new to this or going through this for a while. And as a, you know, bonus parent going through this. And you're going to find your place. You're going to find your groove. Just stick with it.
Yeah, stick with it. All
right,
y'all. Well, that's all the time we've got for tonight, and we thank you for joining us. We're the Power Couple, and y'all have a great rest of the night. Bye.